And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena, and happy March 1st Movement Day.
Great, good job.
Yeah.
You got it down.
Independence Movement Day, March 1st Movement Day.
Take your pick.
Take your pick. But yes, it's a national holiday usually in Korea.
Usually. Yeah, well, someone has to tell the rest of the world, right? So we're here.
But I find some solace that a lot of people are still working. It's not one of those holidays where everyone is, you know, off.
We just had that Lunar New Year holiday. That was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. That's usually... No, I won't go to that.
Yeah, don't go there. All right, Adam, let's get started. It was a busy news cycle this week and last, so let's get started. The medical strike that didn't see an end, as you alluded to yesterday, Adam. Let's get started. Our first keyword of the day.
No return.
So despite the government's deadline for trainee doctors to come back to work, many residents have still not returned. Some might say as expected, as tensions remained high. Now, this prompted the government to threaten legal action. What's the latest?
Right. So out of 100 major training hospitals across the country, so 300 residents are said to have returned. Only 10 hospitals actually have seen more than 10 residents return as well. So the scale of return, of course, as expected, isn't that large. Now, these returning residents make up about 3% of the nearly 9,000 residents who had left their positions. The general feeling in hospitals is that there hasn't been a noticeable wave of returns yet. Now, there's also skepticism about the accuracy of the government's count of returning residents, with some suggesting that the figures might include brief logins to the hospital's electronic medical record system. So counting that as returning to work. But of course, nothing's confirmed. But the health ministry indicated there could be leeway for those returning between today and over the weekend. So they're pinning hopes that some residents might be mulling a return to work, and the deadline that they set was a bit too last minute, so they're giving them a few extra days to give them a chance to return. But the government is maintaining its position to penalize striking doctors with legal actions, violations of medical acts, and so on. Leaders of major hospitals have also reached out to their residents, urging them to come back. Eyes are on whether this will lead to additional returns during the holiday. Now, the government also proposed a meeting to discuss these residents' concerns, but the turnout was low, with only a few residents attending, apparently 5 to 6 people only attending the meeting. So this just goes to show that there's still a lot of tensions between both sides. And for the moment, even after the weekend on Monday, we'll probably won't see many residents returning. So we'll have to see if any legal actions are taken and to what scale. But nothing much has changed, basically.
And in the meanwhile, we have to raise important questions like, can the health system really sustain a prolonged strike, not just for weeks, but for months on end? We'll wait and see. Maybe we'll get a legal angle on this story next week, because even that's very murky. You know, how far can the government go with pressing charges? Some lawyers say absolutely there are grounds for it. And then, of course, there are those who defend fiercely on the doctor's sides as well.
Right. So this is it's a tough one, legally speaking, because they handed in resignations. So they basically quit their job. So they're within their right to do so.
Right.
And basically, it means nullifying their resignations forcibly, basically, and taking legal action for that. So, yeah, it's a bit of a gray area, but we'll have to see what kind of precedents are set because of it.
All right. Moving on to our second keyword. Who knew that a tech CEO has such celebrity? Our second keyword of the day.
Yoon meets Zuckerberg.
Right, because at Gimpo Airport, he was welcomed by like a throng of press and fans.
Yeah, tech fans, yeah.
All right. President Yoon has met with Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg to explore ways to increase cooperation in artificial intelligence. So that's the important part of this discussion. So they sat down. Do we know what they discussed?
Yeah, that's a bit of a funny phenomenon, isn't it? You wouldn't see Lee Jae-yong having a swarm of fans going to airports in America if he visits the
I
US.
don't know. Speak for yourself. We haven't seen it yet, but maybe.
Well, maybe, but yeah, I mean, it has become more of a celebrity status. A lot of tech CEOs in the US and Silicon Valley do tend to have that kind of status, of course, don't they? Like the likes of, Elon Musk and so on, and Jeff Bezos as well. So yeah, the kind of status and stature they have worldwide, it's quite different from the CEOs of tech firms in the career. But anyway, I digress. Now, they shared visions for creating an AI digital ecosystem and ways to strengthen cooperation between Meta, formerly known, of course, as Facebook, and Korean firms. They also stressed the need for Meta to play an active role as a global platform for creating a trustworthy digital society, in the words of the presidential office. Now, the president stressed to the U.S. tech giant chief that Korea could be an excellent platform for applying Meta's AI, since it has a diverse portfolio of smart home appliances, wearable devices, and smart cars. Of course, the likes of Samsung and LG with their prominence in the smartphone market, and LG with its prominence in the smart home appliance market, of course, is what the president is alluding to. He also mentioned that the Korean government could facilitate cooperation between companies from both countries as well. He also expressed interest in collaborating with Meta on developing the metaverse ecosystem and suggested that Meta's involvement in hardware could create significant synergies with Korean companies as well. Of course, Meta with this headset that's been rivaled by Apple's new product recently as well in terms of, AR and VR and so on.
XR.
XR, sorry. Yes. So many R's.
Yeah, I know. How many realities do we really need?
Yeah, a lot of realities involved. But anyway, hardware related to that is what the president is alluding to. And Yoon addressed the issue of fake news and misinformation spread through AI, urging Meta to play an active role in monitoring and countering such threats, especially with, of course, elections occurring globally and with the April general elections here in Korea. Now, in response, Zuckerberg affirmed Meta's commitment to such efforts, mentioning ongoing collaborations with the National Election Commission here in Korea to control the spread of false information. And Zuckerberg also acknowledged Samsung's pivotal role in the global economy as well, especially in the foundry business, and suggested that cooperation in this area could be crucial. He has been meeting with the CEOs and the top business tycoons and tech tycoons of Korea. So we'll have to see what further collaborations will come about after his visit to Korea.
All right, let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Deep concern.
So South Korea and the U.S. have expressed deep concern over North Korea's designation of inter-Korean relations as hostile and its potential attempt at changing the status quo in the West Sea. This came after Foreign Minister Cho Tae-ryul met with U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Kurt Campbell. What did they discuss, Adam?
Right, so they agreed to actively cooperate to be able to deter any provocation by North Korea. They emphasized the complete solidarity between South Korea and the U.S. in responding to threats. Cho highlighted the importance of advancing the alliance and three-way cooperation, including Japan. Cho asked Campbell to play an active role in further developing the bilateral alliance as well as trilateral cooperation with Japan. Campbell responded positively, promising to enhance these relations through regular communications among the deputy ministers of the three countries. And he also acknowledged South Korea's international standing and capacity, expressing Washington's readiness to support Seoul's increased role and contributions on the global stage. Cho also asked for South Korean companies, which have expanded their investments in the U.S., to receive corresponding benefits. The two also discussed concerns about China's support to the Russian defense industrial base, while they stressed the importance of providing further support to Ukraine. The meeting came about a day after Cho's first bilateral meeting with the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. During that meeting, the pair criticized growing military cooperation between North Korea and Russia and Pyongyang's increasingly aggressive behavior as well. They also stressed the allies' alignment against Russia's war in Ukraine.
All right, with that, move on to our general elections right here in Korea, our fourth keyword of the day.
Electoral district map.
So lawmakers have endorsed an electoral district map for the upcoming general elections, ending months of political wrangling over the issue. Every vote counts. How we define those votes? Well, it matters. What's the latest?
Yeah, so it's delayed as usual, as is usually the case with these elections. 41 days it came before the elections takes place. Well, 39 days apparently the last time in the last elections where such a an agreement was made, so they are certainly leaving it till last minute. But anyway, floor leaders of the rival parties did reach a last minute eventually. Now, according to the agreement, the number of directly elected seats in North Tulla province remains unchanged at 10. The seats for proportional representation have been slightly reduced, now totaling 46. Of course, minor opposition parties weren't very happy with that news because it means less of a chance for them. As a result, the number of parliamentary seats in Seoul and the surrounding Gyeonggi province will be 48 and 60 respectively, followed by Busan at 18. These adjustments are critical for parties as they strategize their campaigns and select candidates to maximize their electoral gains in these key regions. Now, the plan introduces special areas allowing for partial division of some districts to better reflect their unique characteristics and demographic changes since the last election in 2020. This prevents the creation of overly large districts in, say, Gangwon and Gyeonggi. Seoul maintains its current district arrangement and South Cholla keeps most of its districts unchanged with that extra special area added in North Cholla. Now, the Democratic Party's request for changes in Busan was not met, resulting in five special areas with the rest of the districts set according to the original proposal. So, there you have it. I know that's probably gone over the heads of most people listening, but
who are not local listeners, right?
Yes, but basically, it's changes that try to fit in with the, you know, demographic changes, as I said, in the past 4 years, and try not to give too much seats to one specific area, so it's equally dispersed across most of the key areas in the country. So there's fairer, apparently, competition. We'll have to see if it is fairer, but yeah, we'll have to see.
In politics, how we define fair, I guess that could be divisive too. And that's why it takes so many weeks and months to figure this out. But the objective is always, they say, the fair election. We'll leave it there for now so we can move on to our final keyword of the day.
North Korean workers on strike.
So North Korean workers have refused to go to work in the Chinese border city of Dandong, demanding their return to the north. What are they protesting exactly?
Yeah, so it might be sound a bit strange to some who are familiar or unfamiliar with North Korea, because you usually think that North Koreans usually work and do as they're told and not really aren't really the striking type, if you will. But in the Chinese border city of Dandong, apparently this has happened not just in Dandong but in other areas as well. Now, Cho Han Bum, a senior research fellow at the state-run Korea Institute for National Unification, said on his YouTube channel that scores of North Korean workers staged a work stoppage in mid-February. This follows reports of a series of strikes and riots last month in China's Jilin province as well. Now, despite intervention from a North Korean consul attempting to resolve the situation, efforts have been challenging as workers expressed a firm desire to return home, even if it means facing death. Now, Chua highlighted that these workers, potentially staying in China for up to 7 years or more, are reaching their physical and mental limits. The National Intelligence Service acknowledged that various incidents have occurred due to the poor living conditions and working conditions of North Korean workers, and it added that it is closely monitoring the situation. Now, the Japanese daily Yomiuri Shimbun previously reported that around 2,000 North Korean workers dispatched by a trade firm under the North's Defense Ministry occupied a factory in Jilin Province in January and staged a riot due to overdue wages. Chul mentioned that North Korean officials were sent to investigate the incident, and as a result, around 100 individuals were forcibly repatriated to North Korea in mid-February. What happened to them remains unknown, but yeah, I mean, it goes to show that North Koreans working abroad to funnel money into the regime and the North Korean government aren't really working in the best of conditions, and they do seem to be quite dire. But of course, these are unofficial reports, and we'll have to see what the NIS or official agencies and government bodies say. But yeah, it appears to be evident that they are just, they've had enough, basically, and they just want to go back home, even if it means, of course, some repercussions.
Facing extremely harsh punishments. Yeah. It's sometimes hard for us to assume that the conditions can be more dire outside of North Korea, because we get information drips and drabs, and like you said, in sometimes unconfirmed reports. But nonetheless, that's what's according to a research fellow at the Institute for National Unification. So we'll leave it there for now. Adam, what a busy news week.
It certainly has been recently in the past few weeks. It has been quite busy. And up until April, anyway, it's going to get even busier. So, yeah.
He says it will be over then. Then we'll start talking about Super Tuesday. And actually, no, it will be past Super Tuesday. And the U.S. presidential election. It will be so fun for us. Thank you, Anna.
It certainly will be. You're very welcome. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
See you next week.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.